Open with me the Bible to the Psalms, Psalm 46. The Psalms have been incredible to go through. Last week, I think I said I'm even more excited about Psalm 45 because there was just so much messianic significance. It talked about Yeshua in every verse. Well, Psalm 46 is sort of it's kind of like a corollary to Psalm 45. The subheading of the Psalm says it's according to Alamoth. Seems a little strange, but this is a musical term. And this psalm was written as a song, which most of the psalms are. Alamoth is a musical term, and some of the Jewish commentaries and Jewish sages, specifically Rashi and Radak, say it's a type of instrument. The Alamoth is a type of instrument. It only appears one other place in all of the Bible, this word in Hebrew. So let's go there. 1 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 20. At this point in the Bible, what's going on here in 1 Chronicles 15 is that the Ark of the Covenant is being brought into Jerusalem by King David. You saw the pictures of Jerusalem a few minutes ago on the screens. Jerusalem was captured, the city, it's called the City of David. It was captured by David when he became king, and he brought the ark there. And at the time that he's bringing the ark into Jerusalem, that amazing moment in Scripture, David commands the Levites, the division of the Levites that were the singers and the musicians, he commands them to sing. And this is what is said here, this reference, 1 Chronicles 15, 20. He's talking about the names of the people, Zechariah, Aziel, Shemiramoth, Zahiel, Uni, Eliah, Maaseah, and Benaiah were to play harps according to Alamoth. Now, Psalm 46 is one of those songs. In fact, today, when we had our service, I told our worship leader, Micah, to put in Psalm 46 because we're talking about Psalm 46. So he put all the songs together, and we sang all the songs. And then as they were practicing this morning, I noticed that the second song that they did, which was Elohim Lanu, if you remember that, that is also Psalm 46. And he didn't realize it because it was in Hebrew, but that is literally God is our refuge and our strength, the opening verse of Psalm 46. So it's kind of amazing how the Lord did this. Two of the five worship songs that we did today were based on Psalm 46, which is what we're talking about here. The psalm speaks of God's power, of his sovereignty. It's written with the nation of Israel in mind, but there are all of these universal prophetic implications. So it's a prophetic piece of scripture. This is important. It's a song. Yes, it's wonderful to sing. It's, liturgy for us, but it's also prophetic. The Jewish commentary on Psalm 46 is, like Psalm 45, highly messianic. It talks about the Messiah all over the place. Jewish commentary on Psalm 46 specifically says that this psalm addresses the time of Gog and Magog, which is this great war that's going to take place in the future, and it specifically addresses the Messianic Age. So this is a prophetic psalm about the future and the Messianic Age. It's a time where there'll be a great battle that will usher in the time of Messiah. The Moody Bible Commentary says this about Psalm 46, quote, "The divine king who will rescue Israel in Psalm 45 is followed by this psalm that describes the king's city, Jerusalem, when he comes," end quote. So this is a beautiful psalm we're going to look at. It shows how our mighty God, he's a refuge for Israel. He is with Israel. No matter what they go through, he's a comfort to Israel. And it's a prophetic piece of Mashiach when he returns to this world and ushers in the Messianic Age. So let's begin. Go to Psalm 46. We'll start with verse 1. "God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though the waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling." Selah. First thing we see here is that there is trouble. As believers, we like to think everything is wonderful, everything's good with God, and yes, that's true, everything is good with God. But there's a lot of trouble that takes place, not only in our lives today, but that will happen in the future. So there's the first thing we see here is he's a present help, but he's a present help in trouble. Trouble is, in the Hebrew here, tsara, and it translates directly to distress, a time of tribulation. And the Jewish commentary says this is metaphorically speaking of the warfare that's going to happen that precedes the Messianic age. And I love that everything works together. The Lord is so good. In our Brit Chadashah portion today, our portion of scripture from the New Testament that we read, you remember it talked about it, and it's Matthew 24, it talked about the birth pangs of the Messiah. You remember that? Well, in Psalm 46, the rabbis say that this is talking about the birth pangs of the Messiah. There's actually a reference in the Talmud about this in one of the tractates in Sanhedrin. It talks about the birth pangs that precede the Messiah coming. And the Talmud actually quotes the prophet Micah. We're going to look at that right now. Micah chapter 5, verses 3 and 4. Therefore, he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has given birth. Then the rest of his brothers shall return to the people of Israel. Verse 4. And he, Messiah, shall stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall dwell secure, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth. So this is all talking about this coming tribulation and this messianic age that follows. What is happening here in Psalm 46? Well, as we begin, we see this picture of distress. We see this picture of trouble. We see things like the earth gives way, it says. The mountains move. The waters roar and foam. The mountains tremble. When the Jewish sages interpret this, they translate Psalm 46, verse 2, as the earth is transformed, okay? Not that the earth gives way, but that the earth is transformed at this time. And it says in their translation, the mountains collapse. Can you imagine this? The mountains collapse. And the commentary here that the Jewish sages have is that when this happens, Gog and his allies will fall. So this is predicting this future war of Gog and Magog that we, of course, hear a lot about in Ezekiel, very prophetic war. But in the midst of all of this trouble, in the midst of this tribulation, when we see all these things happening, I mean, can you imagine seeing mountains collapsing, the earth being transformed? It would be kind of a time to freak out, right? But what goes on in Psalm 46 is the Bible says, as this is happening, we are told not to fear. Why? Because why? God is our refuge and our strength. That is the message. The message is, yes, there's going to be tribulation. Yes, there's going to be war. There's going to be problems. But we are told not to fear because God is with us. God is our refuge and our strength. Turn to the book of Joel, chapter 3, verse 16. The Lord roars from Zion and utters his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth quake. But the Lord is a refuge to his people, a stronghold to the people of Israel. You see this contrast throughout Psalm 46. These are things that would give us grief and distress and turmoil. And I'm sure most of the world will feel that as it's happening. But what we as the people of God need to understand, what Israel, the Jewish people, need to understand is God at that time, we are not to fear because God is with us and he is a refuge and a strength for us. Now let's continue with Psalm 46, beginning here in verse 4. There's a river that whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. I just love how scripture does this. The Lord does this when he put this all together. All of this devastating stuff is happening. And then he just says, a little aside, by the way, the Lord is with you. The God of Jacob is your fortress. Now, Psalm 46, verse 4 talks about this river that flows, whose streams make glad the city of God. The reference to streams is very interesting because The reference here is a parallel of that river that flows in the Garden of Eden, if you remember. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 10, we're told that a river flows out of Eden. And it is worth pointing out that at the end of the book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible, we see these parallels to the first few chapters of Genesis. You have, of course, the Garden of Eden and this river flowing and paradise, and everything is, the lion is lying down with the lamb and everything's going great. We know then sin enters in and we have the whole Bible that explains all of this. And then at the end of the book of Revelation, it's a parallel and it's a return to paradise. It's a new heavens and a new earth. It's the messianic age that occurs. And we see the river that flows as well in the book of Revelation. So there's all of this imagery about the distress followed by this beautiful flowing river and eternity with God, this messianic age with God. Verse 5 talks about how God is in the midst of her. Look with me to the prophet Ezekiel, Ezekiel chapter 43, which is a highly prophetic book that talks a lot about this, certainly Gog and Magog. Ezekiel 43, verse 7, just the first part of verse 7. And he said to me, "Son of man, this is the place of my throne and the place of the soles of my feet where I will dwell in the midst of the people of Israel forever." This is a prophetic promise that Hashem gives to his Jewish people, to the people of Israel, that he will be with them. God will dwell in the midst of Israel, and there is this sense of accessibility to God. He's not just going to just plop them in Israel and say, "Have at it, enjoy, eat some good falafel and shawarma." He says, "I'm going to be with them. I'm going to dwell." If you remember in the wilderness, in the middle of the vast desert that we just saw the pictures that the guys took of, that vast desert, the desert that just goes on and on. When Israel was going through the desert, God was in their midst. The Shekhinah, the divine presence of God, it says, would dwell. He would come down and dwell in their midst. It's going to be the same way at the end. There's going to be this dwelling of God with man. He is accessible. He is right there. There's this reality that he is with his people. And then we have in verse 6 of Psalm 46, we see nations raging, clearly talking about trouble, battle, war. And we see in this psalm a contrast between the onset of war and of strife going on all around, but then peace. It reminds me of when things were going on and I was hearing from my kids and people in Israel that the rockets were flying at night and then they were in the bomb shelters worshiping. There's a peace. There's a comfort that we have, even in the midst of turmoil, that God is with us. He is protecting us. And if God is for us, who can be against us, right? So again and again, God tells Israel in the Bible, don't worry. Yes, there's enemies all around you. Yes, there's rockets that may be firing. Yes, it seems dire around you, but don't worry because I'm with you. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6. There was a time in our people's history where they were in a little bit of distress because they were about to go into the land, to take the land. And there was no drones, there was no satellite images, there was no TV that showed them what was over into the land. So they didn't know, they were going in blind. And what does God say to them at this time as they were about to go into that promised land? He says in Deuteronomy 31, 6, "Be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you." That's something we can hold on to. That's something that Israel at this time in their history needs to hold on to. If the rest of the world forsakes Israel, and we see it happening, unfortunately, the Lord will never forsake his people. The Lord will dwell in their midst. Zephaniah, the book of Zephaniah, chapter 3, verse 17. "The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exalt over you with loud singing." I've always loved these verses, this verse here. When it says he will quiet you, the word here in the Hebrew is charash, and it means to be silent. But it also means, this is really cool, it means to cut in or to engrave. So there's a sense that Israel is God's, never to be taken away from God. And there's this engraving, this marking that God has done with Israel. He's marked them for himself. He's given them something that will not be undone. Now, for all of us as followers of Messiah Yeshua, Jew and Gentile alike, we can rest in the assurance that God is with us, that we are bound to God, that he will never let us go, even in war, even in the day of judgment, as it says in Zephaniah. At the most bleak of times, the Lord will hold on to Israel, and ultimately the Lord holds on to all followers of him that follow him in righteousness and truth through Yeshua. I want to turn to 1 John, the book of 1 John, chapter 4, verses 16 to 18. Just beautiful words here. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in his love abides in God, and God abides in him. Verse 17, by this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment. Because as he is also are we in this world, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. Now, from time to time, we all fear. It's natural. But we have to remind ourselves that if God is with us, who can be against us? And God continually tells us within Scripture to not fear. He tells Israel, he tells all people to not fear because he is with us. Now, let's turn back to Psalm 46 one more time today. We're going to finish the psalm beginning in verse 8. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. There's a sense that God is in the midst of Israel. He's protecting his people and he's protecting the land. But you have to see the universality of all of this, that God is not only exalted in Israel, but when the Messianic age begins, God will be exalted among the nations. This will extend out to the entire world, in all the earth, it says in Psalm 46. And it says, come, behold, this is our invitation to draw to the Lord. It says he makes the war cease. The Jewish commentary here, the traditional Jewish commentary on this part of the Psalms, Psalm 46 says this, quote, at that time, peace will extend to the ends of the earth, for all will be subservient to Mashiach, end quote. This is what traditional Jewish commentary talks about. This is the coming Messianic age. Now, I want you to turn to Isaiah chapter 2, verses 2 through 4. And it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established as the highest of the mountains and shall be lifted up above the hills, and all the nations shall flow to it. And many people shall come and say, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations and shall decide disputes for many peoples, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. This is clearly talking about that future messianic age. Now it says to be still in Psalm 46. In Hebrew it's rapha. And it means to sink or to relax, like to sink down. It's like, you know, when you're in a lazy boy, you know, you just kind of, you just sink down. That's kind of what I picture when God says to be still. It's actually the opposite of being strong. The connotation in the Hebrew is actually to be feeble, to be weak, to be completely relaxed. My personal translation of that is to chill out, to lose control, and to surrender to God. We don't have to worry. We don't have to keep our hands on the wheel. We don't have to stress out. What are we going to do? How are we going to do it? What's going to go on? Where am I going to get my blah, blah, blah? You know, chill out, lose control, and surrender, and know that I am God. Now, When it says to know, we've seen this Hebrew word again in the Psalms, it is yada. And it means to know, but it means to know because of personal experience. There's a personal thing. He's not just a God up here that we pray to and that we talk about. He's a God down here with us. There's a personal knowing of God, yada. It's the same word used in Proverbs, my favorite verses in the Bible. You know, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. If you read Proverbs 3, 6, it says this. When it says, in all of your ways, acknowledge God, and he'll make your path straight. It actually can read, in all of your ways, know God personally. There's the word, yada. In all of your ways, know him personally, and he will direct your paths. Last piece of scripture I'm going to give us today in the message. God speaking to Israel in the book of Isaiah, chapter 52, verses 6 and 7. This is the Lord speaking. Therefore, my people shall know my name. Therefore, in that day, they shall know, yada, that it is I who speak. Here I am. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, Besorah, who publishes peace, who brings good news of happiness, who publishes salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. So he says, my people Israel, they shall yada, they shall know my name. This is the prayer. This is our prayer for our Jewish people collectively to know, to recognize, to yada, know personally God's name. And that name, above all names, is the name of Yeshua, the Messiah. So we see all of this happening. And if we go back to Psalm 46, there's this tribulation that is coming, this future war where the nations are raging, battles happening. But in the midst of it, Israel's told not to fear, but to yada, to know God. And we know that those battles and that tribulation and that time of strife is not forever. It is only temporary. Because what is to come after that is this messianic age where God will be dwelling personally in our midst, in the midst of his people Israel, where God is our refuge and our help, where God is with us, where God is comforting us, and where God is in our midst. I just want to close with this beautiful piece of liturgy that we say all the time. We close the Amidah, which is the prayer, with it. We have songs that sing it. And it is simply, Oseh Shalom Bimromav, Hu Ya'aseh Shalom Aleinu, V'Yakol Yisrael, V'Imru Amen. May he who creates peace in his high heavens create peace for us and for all Israel and say, Amen. Shabbat Shalom.